would be so much easier. No, with that freedom is sometimes harder. That's like a lot of people have said to me, having money must be so much easier than not having money. It doesn't matter if you're not at peace. I have been miserable broke. I have been miserable rich. I have been at peace with money, and I have been peace without money. Me being at peace does not have to do with the amount of money I have. It does not make it easier if I am not at peace. There is more responsibility. There's more headaches. There's more hassles with money as there is without it. My peace is not contingent on income, people, who I'm with, where I'm at, circumstance, or my emotional state. There is a place of peace that I can get to most of the time. And when I can't, there's absolute tools to get me back to that place. Because I think if you had to break 10 and 11 down to what they're really about, they're about being here right now for someone else but me. Free. And that prepares me to practice the 12 step. Every time I've started doing some discipline, and 10 and 11 do take discipline, and they do take deciding about giving yourself to that discipline and letting God discipline you in that simple way. The first thing that always goes for me when I know I'm moving back to a place where it's time for me to do the work again, the first thing that always goes is the evening review. I can be doing great things with prayer. I can be doing great things with meditation. They might start to get a little flat, but the first thing that'll go is what they ask me to do when I retire at night, to constructively review my day. I think the most important word in the evening review is to find a way to constructively review your day, because if you don't like doing it, and it's about beating yourself up, and it's not about getting free at the end of the day, so you can be free of it, even though you might have to clean a few things up tomorrow, and being free of yesterday, tomorrow, you'll hate doing the evening review unless you can find a way to constructively review it that you enjoy. But it asked me to go through my day. So I start by scanning my day. And this whole thing at night and this whole thing in the morning only takes me about 15 minutes. I can't give 15 minutes to my life. My God, I give more than that every day to the fellowship. I give more than that every day to service. Do I give that much to recovery? To God? Do I really love God? After all He's given me, what do I do? Can I spend 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night and just try to do what it suggests throughout the day? So I go through my day first, just scanning it, get quiet, close my eyes, go through the day. Well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and then I did this, and then I answer the questions. And it's amazing, when I've scanned the day, the answers pop out of the scan that I've already done. Where was I selfish? Boom. Dishonest? Boom. Afraid? Do I owe any apologies? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? Was I kind and loving toward all? That's more of a goal than anything any of us will ever reach. I've never had a day when I've been kind and loving toward everyone. Or I've never had a day where I couldn't have done something better. And that's the next question. What could I have done better? Thank God there's guides to grow in this program. What I could have done better helps me set up my intent for tomorrow. If I could have been more loving yesterday, maybe I could try to be a little more loving tomorrow. If I was a little flaky and not to the point with the people that trust me, maybe tomorrow I could be a little more direct and to the point, or a little more loving, or a little more kind, or a little more honest. Was I thinking of myself most of the time, or was I thinking of what I could do for others? Of what I could pack into the stream of life. But I must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. That's not constructive. So I learned to use the 10-step directions to watch for those things in the evening review if they crop up and ask for them to be removed and turn back to the evening review and continue to do it constructively. I don't need worry, remorse, and morbid reflection in looking back through my day. I need to thank God for revealing this stuff to me so I can get free of anything that needs to be cleaned up from today so tomorrow I can be clean. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So the only thing I do at the end of that is about another 10 minutes of meditation. And whatever comes from that meditation as far as apologies, corrective measures, anything that needs to be discussed with someone, any amends that need to be made from today, I just put them in my day timer for tomorrow and I go to bed. And tomorrow I have everything I need in my plans for today to clean up anything that's still stale from yesterday so I can be there for today. How can you be there for today if you're not free of stuff you did 20 years ago? You can try to pray. You can pray. You can try to meditate. You can meditate. You can try to do what you can with the 10th step. You can try to do what you can with the 11th step. But you're going to see ideas and things in the 10th and 11th step that you couldn't any more do than the man in the moon when you're still confined to things from the past that own you. But when you've reached a day, as I have several times, for periods of time, until there's more resentment, until there's more harm, until there's more work that needs to be done, I have experienced times when I know in a place beyond my head, there's no one I owe. I'm clean. Then I can start to be here today and just keep one day at a time cleaned up. Now, my ego does what alcoholics' egos do. And if you really want to read about somebody interesting in our history books, AA Comes of Age, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, some of those history books, a man that we don't talk about a lot, and I think I have an understanding why, who was as influential, and this is only a guess, but I think this man was as influential on Dr. Bob as Silkworth and Carl Jung were on Bill. And this man was, name was Harry Thibault, Dr. Harry Thibault. And what he talked about was the resurgence of the ego in an alcoholic having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, how it rebuilds itself, and it starts to take me out of 10 and 11. It starts to convince me I'm not causing any harm. I don't need to do the evening review. I'm not really angry, and I fall asleep again as the ego wakes up. And then as it falls asleep, so I wake up. And then as it smashed down, I wake up. And then as I wake up, it wakes up. This continuing circle between being awake and being asleep. That doesn't just happen from morning to night. And from my ego being smashed to my ego waking up. As it goes, I go. When it wakes up, I fall asleep because that's its job, to keep me out of the now and asleep into tomorrow or yesterday. And then as I wake up, I can be here, right here and now. The only place my ego doesn't want me. Then you really get to do the work of Alcoholics Anonymous. After all that, I've had to go through this grueling first step experience. The first time I was in it for a while. Nowadays, I don't spend a lot of time in 1, 2, and 3. It's just more self-indulgence. Necessary. Time-consuming, but I don't have to spend a lot of time with it anymore because my life is about being there for other people. And for a guy like me to be able to say that I am there quite a bit of the time for other people is not something that I planned on or wanted to even do. And that I care about that most of the time, some of the time. When some idiot from Muscatine, Iowa calls and wants help, Man, I live in Santa Monica. I got things to do. Lots to do. And to want to do that and be there? Because I remember the times that Don was. He had a lot to do. He had a great life. He was there. What if he had decided not to speak that year? Or not to go that night, the first night I heard him? Not to be there that one time when I was there? That's what I think about when I'm asked. Maybe it's that one time when there's that one guy there just like me. Or you want to complain about having to go, or I'm tired, all that inconsequential stuff. What if he hadn't been there? I have a debt to my sponsor that I could never pay him. And I feel that. Can't ever be paid back to him. It didn't come from him. It was given to me, so now I have to give it to others. I've never seen anybody come through the first 9 steps and do anything at all with 10 and 11 that this doesn't happen for. They want to do this. That's an amazing change for selfish, self-centered people like me. They say, and it's an experience that you're not going to want to miss, to watch others recover, to be a part of this fellowship, to watch others change, to watch families reunite, to watch healing take place that you know neither one of you could have healed. That's amazing. I believe what's outlined in the chapter, working with others, is about how to approach somebody that's not aware of this program. How to hook a drunk from the approach to from when he's wet to from when you hook him to from when you open the when he's open to this program. I believe there's specific directions in there. Not to waste your time. If he isn't ready, you might spoil another chance. For you to decide whether he's an alcoholic or not, it absolutely asks you to do that in that chapter. When you're convinced that he's a real alcoholic, you don't tell him, you don't brand him, you let him find out. How to approach somebody. How to hook a wet drunk. How to hook somebody who's new. But I don't think that chapter goes into doing this work. I think they've already laid that out, how to do that. Taking somebody through these steps is not the same as a 12-step call. Taking someone to a treatment center is not a 12-step call because you dropped him off somewhere. Did you go back? Did you follow through? Did you talk to the family? Were you there when he got out? Did you talk to him while he was there? Did you bring him to AA? Did you ask him, is this what he wants? Did you lay the program out for him to even understand what it is he's supposed to want? Great directions. I like to read Working With Others anytime I'm called to go on a 12-step, if I have any time at all. You usually don't. So I read that chapter from time to time. I believe a lot of people that talk about this book sell it short when they say the rest of those chapters don't have to do with much. And they sell to the employers and to the wives and to the family and a vision for you short, because I think those chapters are about the second half of step 12. Practicing these principles in all our affairs. You find great stuff in those chapters. I think we all like to find our niche too, but I think sometimes it's great to break out of that niche. The first thing I fell into was the first thing I said I would never do. So I would probably warn anybody in this room about ever saying never to anything in AA. You would probably find yourself doing it within a week. And my first never was, I'll never go back to treatment centers and I don't want to have anything to do with penitentiaries. And within 2 weeks, I was on the state committee, H&I chairman for the state of Colorado. And where was I the rest of those 2 years? In penitentiaries and treatment centers. I don't say never anymore in AA. My next niche was working with people one-on-one. And I think that's where it really happens. And that's really what I love. I love sitting in my living room with another drunk, man or woman. I don't have a problem working with women. I'm not going to sponsor them. They're going to have someone that's their sponsor. But if they want to go through the steps with me, fine, as long as there's no interfering attraction. I wouldn't try to take somebody through these steps that I was attracted to. That's silly. Waste of time and terribly dangerous. We got plenty of women in our group that do this work. Send them to a woman. Funny thing happened since this last time through the steps. And there's people in this room that have known me. And I would say a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. I wouldn't say I was terribly angry, although there were times that I was angry. I would say there was a part of me that was shut off that's open now. And this American Indian man that I went through the steps with this time, after the fifth step, he called me before I was leaving Denver, and he said, "You know what I really think changed for you this time?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "What I really think changed for you this time is I think your feelings changed." And ever since June 25th, it hasn't been that long, but everyone that has come to me for help or that has been attracted to something that I've been given have been women. And they all say, "You're so kind and loving and gentle and open." and that's not me. I told them to go ask a few of my friends, and they tell my friends in my home group, "This guy is so kind and loving and open and gentle." They say, "Who in the world are you talking about?" Right? It's like another part of me has opened up. Some people find their niche in 12-step calls. I don't do well with wet drunks, but I don't get too far away from it. To remember what a drunk's puke is like, you get too far away from that, or you start feeling mushy about some of the people in your group, or you start feeling mushy about people that drink again. Then one day you start feeling mushy about yourself, and boom. Alcohol gets you. I don't want to see anyone die from alcoholism. Better them than me. I start feeling mushy about them, I'll start feeling mushy about me. Oh, if only they could have. If only I could have. Oh, I feel so sorry for them. Then all of a sudden I'm feeling sorry about myself. And if only I could have, boom, it's me. I take this work very seriously, and I have a lot of fun in my life. I have a lot of fun. I love having fun. I love playing. I have no problem tapping into my inner child. It's the inner adult that I have had trouble getting in touch with. Right? I love our friend in California who says he comes from a terribly dysfunctional family, and the reason it was terribly dysfunctional was because he was in it. I believe if they laid the principles out in the 12 steps, that the principles I'm supposed to practice are these steps and the principles that come from each one. I believe there are principles within the steps, and I believe there are principles that come from the steps. The ones we all talk about: love and tolerance and kindness and consideration and unselfishness. That doesn't mean you can't use those things to cause harm. Nothing worse than the dishonesty I use based on virtue. See, your character defects, as you continue on this path and as you continue to do this work, they get refined. And I don't do a lot of the outright lies and stuff anymore. But now I do the kind of stuff where my ego convinces me I don't really want to tell them that because it might hurt them. Right? I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I tell little lies. And virtue has got me once again. I'm not being honest. That doesn't mean I want to say everything that's going to hurt somebody. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that my ego is going to start to convince me to do a little dishonest and selfish and self-seeking stuff with good motives now, rather than the old ones that used to drive me. I think there's some principles in the steps that we don't talk about a lot. I think one of the most powerful principles in our steps, and I think there is I think it is within each step, I think it's a part of every step, is the principle of admission, to admit. Great freedom comes in admission. There's power in admission of truth. Breezing through your day, totally asleep, boom, don't catch it till at night or a week or a month later. You've caused all this harm. Where all you had to do was pause and say, hey, I'm being dishonest. And it stops you right where you are and lets you start again rather than just going on asleep. Could be a month, week, a day, 6 hours, 6 months. Principle of admission. It's in the first step. It's in the second step when I admit the truth about my agnosticism. It's in the third step when I admit about my life run on self-will cannot be a success. It's in the fourth step to myself on paper in black and white. It's in the fifth step to another person in God. It's in six and seven when I admit the exact nature and ask for it to be removed and admit that I can't remove it. It's in eight on paper. An admission of harm. It's in 9, face to face with you when I make amends. It's all about 10, to admit when I'm wrong. It's in 11, it's in the morning, it's at night. The principle of admission, to admit, can literally stop me from going any further and free me up to move on when I've turned from something, when I'm off track. You ever had one of those days that was, and you didn't catch it till the end of the night, that was just totally self-will, and you could have seen that you could have stopped it about 2 minutes after it started and just said, hey, this is what I'm up to. What about the principle of decision, to decide? Decide from the very beginning, is this what you want to do, and are you willing to go to any length? The book says to decide that. To decide about my truth with alcohol. To decide about step 2, to make the third step decision, to decide to write inventory, to decide to fifth step and who with, to decide to do 6 and 7, to decide to make a list, to decide to make the next amends, to learn about using the 10th step from a place of decision, to decide about my life and learn to use my will properly, to decide to do the 11th step in the morning and throughout the day. And when you retire at night. That's a powerful principle, the principle of decision. It's really enjoyable for me, when, especially when I've come through a period like I have since June, going through these steps again, and I'm getting ready to finish these last 5 or 10 amends from this inventory. To have a chance to do this on a day where you really finish up, and I'm also, Monday will be my 10th birthday, to kind of come to a to kind of come to a conclusion of a period of time. A decade's not that much to some people. For me, it's absolutely amazing. I can't take the credit. It's not something that I've pulled off, to have come through this work again with someone that I wasn't open to, who did some stuff that a year ago I was closed-minded about, is not something that I can do. To stand here from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon is not something I can do. I had to pray every time we took a break. to be open to what I was supposed to say today without having to take any notes or practice or even think about it, and not consume yesterday with what I was going to do today, to be there for yesterday and what I was doing yesterday, to really want to be here for each moment of what we've gone through today and be excited about that and be awake to it. That's not something I can do. Then to be able to let this go and move on to the next thing that I have to do tomorrow that I would like to be there for, rather than thinking about how wonderful or how terrible this went today. And I can't do that when I'm not free of the past. And I can't do that if I'm not even free of yesterday, let alone 20 years ago. And I can't do that when I don't start the day off from a place where I'm on track. I would never know throughout the day if I was off. And for me to be standing here today, almost 10 years sober, willing to finish these four or five amends that I have to finish in Denver next week, back in Los Angeles, I would not any more in the man in the moon be open to doing if I hadn't made a list and become willing to do that. And you know what? I never would have made that list of people that I've harmed and have any interest at all in becoming willing to make those amends if what blocks me from those people hadn't been removed and something hadn't happened in 6 and 7. And there is no way in the world I would have any kind of willingness to ask for that stuff to be removed if I hadn't seen the exact nature of it in step 5. How could I ask for something to be removed I didn't know the exact nature of, or that it was even wrong and hadn't admitted that? And there was absolutely no way in the world that I could come to any kind of admission about that if I hadn't written it out and admitted to myself and taken that searching and fearless moral inventory about that period of time to even see that stuff to admit to you. And there's absolutely no way in the world that I would have even sat down to write that stuff if I wasn't once again convinced about my life run on my will, whether that could be successful or not. And there was no way in the world I could even become open to any kind of an idea of turning my life and my will over to anything if I didn't have some kind of willingness to believe that this power could take me any further than I was when I started this. And there's no reason in the world I would be open to anything taking me beyond where I am if I thought I could on my own power or that I could manage my life. And there is no way in the world would I would even consider any of that if I wasn't powerless over alcohol. So I guess what I'm saying to you is, in a roundabout way, that because I am powerless over alcohol, and because my life is unmanageable, I have on a regular basis come to believe that there is a power greater than myself that can restore me to a place beyond my wildest dreams. And on a regular basis, I have decided about that and about my life going on, run on my will. And I have tried to look at the truth about what blocks me from that power and admit that to other people and ask for those things to be removed and once again listed those people that I've harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. And today, I want to do that. I want to do that because I want to find out what's in store this time for a period of time before my ego does what it does, that I'm given the grace to stay in 10 and 11 and see what happens in the next year. Thanks so much for asking me to come.